This sermon is brought to you from the pulpit of Parkway Baptist in Fort Oglethorpe, Georgia.
All right, remain standing with me and take your copy of God's Word and turn it to 1 Peter chapter number 1. 1 Peter chapter number 1, and we'll look at verse number 13 down to verse number 21. Let me just say Happy New Year's to everybody. I hope that your holiday goes well. Tonight we'll have no service, so you can spend time with your family and your friends around your home and your dinner table celebrating the new year. And so make sure that you honor the Lord and look to Him tonight. Be safe if you're traveling out there. There's a lot of crazies that will be on the road tonight trying to bring in the new year through drunken parties. And I'm glad that I got under the spout where the glory runs out, and that I know the Lord Jesus Christ. So be careful, have a great night, and we'll be praying for you and your family, and hopefully we will start the new year off right by just looking at 1 Peter chapter number 1, and I want to look at verse 13 down to verse number 21. 1 Peter chapter number 1 and in verse number 13. The Bible says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of person judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the traditions of your fathers, but how were we redeemed, verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ," someone say amen, "but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you, who by Him do believe in God that raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith," listen, "that your faith and hope might be in God." I want you to be seated. We're going to talk about hope for a new year. And tonight, this morning, I just want to entitle this passage, Committed Christianity. What does it mean to be committed to the cause of Christ and the purposes of Christ? And hopefully I'll be a blessing to you, and God will speak to you and help you to start your new year out with Christ within your home and within your heart. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. But most of all, Lord, this morning I thank you, God, for salvation. Lord, this is a time that you have ordered for us to come together, to worship together in one mind and in one accord. And so, God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would be upon us, Lord, that you would manifest your will to our lives. Already this morning in the song service, there have been people coming forward doing business with you. And so, Lord, I pray as you quieten our hearts, Lord, within us, open up our minds, Lord, to help us to receive your word with gladness, that you would lead us and guide us and direct us by your Holy Spirit to do what's right in the eyes of the Lord. And we will thank you for it. And all God's people can say with me, amen. Now, tonight, there's going to be a bunch of people all over the world that's going to commit to a New Year's resolution. How many of you have already committed, "I'm going to have a New Year's resolution"? Anybody? Anybody at all? Some people say, "Well, I'm going to try to lose some weight for the new year." Well, that's me. I'm in that category. "I'm going to try to eat better for the new year." Well, that's me also. I'm in that category. "I'm going to try to hit the gym and exercise a little more." Well, I'm in that category. I guess I'm the only guy in here that needs to lose weight, eat better, and hit the gym. If you got a New Year's resolution, let me see your hand, right? You got something that you want to do. Some of you may say, "Well, I want to spend more time with my family. I want to quit smoking." Amen? I'm going to quit smoking, all right? I told somebody the other day, I said, you know, if you're smoking, you're trying to get rid of those cigarettes, just look at your pinky. You've got something as small as your pinky that's controlling your life. Maybe this year you're saying, "I'm finally going to quit smoking. I'm giving that over to God. I'm going to start exercising. I'm going to do some weightlifting. I'm going to hit the gym. I'm going to manage my money more wisely. I'm going to pay my credit cards off. I'm going to spend more time with my family." Some of you got some spiritual resolutions. You want to start a ministry, be a part of a ministry. You want to pray more. you want to read your Bible more, you want to give more to God as far as your tithe and your talent and your time than you did last year. There's all sorts of resolutions that we can talk about, but what the new year brings us depends on what we bring to the new year. And I want you to hear me when I say that. What the new year brings to us depends upon what we bring into the new year. You've got to bring yourself into the next year wholeheartedly unto God. If you want a spiritual life that was more dynamic than the last, you've got to bring yourself wholeheartedly to God. You've got to be committed to the cause of Christ. What the new year's going to do for you is what you bring into the new year. And the best thing that you can bring into the new year is the presence of Christ and the blessing of God upon you. If you believe that, say amen. I was reading a poem this week that kind of describes the thought that I'm trying to get at this morning. And it reads like this. Dear Master, for this coming year, just one request I bring. I do not pray for happiness or any earthly thing. I do not ask to understand the way thou leadest me, but this I ask, teach me to do the thing that pleases thee. I want to know thy guiding voice, to walk with thee each day. Dear Master, make me swift to hear and ready to obey. And thus this year I now begin, a happy year will be, if I'm seeking just to do the thing that pleases thee. We can talk about a lot of New Year's resolutions: losing weight, getting in the gym, praying more, studying our Bible, giving and going. There's all sorts of things that we can say that we're going to do better as 2018 approaches. But the best thing that you can do this morning is to commit in your heart saying, God, I'm going to do whatever pleases you. Where you lead me, I will follow. Where you guide me, that's where I'm going to go. Lord, whatever pleases you, that's exactly what I want to do. And the Bible is replete with the commands and mandates for us to do just that. The Bible says in James chapter number 1 and verse number 22, the Bible says, be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. I want you to mark in your Bibles that word doer, because it's a very important word within the text. When James writes, be ye doers of the word, he's using a Greek word, poetes. And the word poetes, we get our English word, poet, from. Now, when you think about a poet's got a very sharp mind. As a matter of fact, if you're a good poet, you're very creative. You are a wordsmith. You can take words and bring rhythm and rhyme to those words, and there could be a deep, profound meaning. There could be a funny meaning. There could be a humorous meaning. There could be a word of wisdom within a poem. Somebody who is a poem writer has a creative mind. This is the idea that James has when he says, be ye doers of the word. James, listen, James is telling us that we ought to put forth our very best effort and use all of our creative abilities to put the word of God at work within the world. If you believe that, say amen. Use all your creative abilities trying to find out, how can I get the word of God in somebody's home? How can I get the word of God into somebody's heart? And be creative as possible. Me and Kyle was talking about this week, and we were talking about trying to do some new things with our students in 2018. And trying to teach our church, not only our students, but you also, how to be more evangelistic. I think one of the areas that we fail in as a church is we fail in sharing our faith when it comes to evangelism. I'm talking about telling others about Jesus, your friends and your family. Listen, if you believe that there is a hell and you believe that there is a heaven, you ought to be actively involved sharing your faith. Brother David, I don't know where to start. Start by telling your story. Start by telling them what Jesus has done for you. Tell them what you used to be and what God has done for you. What you used to be involved in and how God has delivered you from that. Start with your story and brag on Jesus. Somebody say amen. Ray Comfort says 2% of Christians share their faith. I've said this before. My teacher in evangelism at Liberty says it's around 5%. So we're looking at 5% of believers across the world are sharing their faith. And here's what James says to us. I want you to be creative in this. I want you to find out a way to be a doer of the word. Poetes. I want you to take your talents. I want you to take your means. I want you to come together as the body of Christ and figure out a way to exercise creative, contagious, committed Christianity. Learn how to share your faith with others. James is telling us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Now, if you're going to be a doer of the word, that means you have to have a spiritual mind. One of the things that's lacking in our churches is we have not developed a spiritual mindset. We need to have a spiritual mind where we are committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody says, well, you know, I just don't have time, and they start offering up all sorts of excuses why they can't develop a spiritual mind. I was reading earlier where a guy had wrote this about excuses. He says, in our youth, we are too lighthearted to think about having a spiritual mind. When you become an adult, you're too busy to think about having a spiritual mind. As you mature, you are too worried to think about a spiritual mind. When you get old, you are too sick to think about a spiritual mind. And when you die, it is too late to think about a spiritual mind. But then you will have all of eternity to think about what you could have done for the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that when we die, there's two ways we're going to enter into heaven. One, well, maybe three. We enter in rejoicing, of course. Heaven's going to be wonderful. If you believe that, say amen. That's what the Word of God teaches us. You're going to enter in rejoicing, but you're also going to enter in remembering with regret. There'll be regret for the things that we have done, and then there's also regret for the things that we have not done. But then it is too late. It is too late to be actively involved in what God wants us to do. So God's giving you the chance right now to get off the bench and get into the game and say, this new year's, what this new year is going to bring to me is what I'm going to bring into the new year. And I'm going to bring myself into 2018 fully committed to the cause of Christ, fully committed to what God wants me to do, with no fear, with no reservation of what the world may think. I'm going to do what God wants me to do, and I'm going to share my faith for the Lord Jesus Christ. If you believe that, if you're going to do that, I want you to say amen. We're going to hold you to that in a year. The Bible says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. So here's my challenge to you, all right? I want you to leave all the excuses behind in 2017 as to why you don't share your faith and begin renewing your mind in 2018 to share your faith. Listen to me. Here's what I believe. God never called us, listen to me now, God never called us to build his church on proselyting. God never called us to build the church on stealing another church's members. God called us to build the church through evangelism and missions. Amen. Amen. One of the things that we are lacking in our culture, and especially in this area, we hop from church to church to church. I want you to know that God does not want you to be a church hopper. God wants you to be a church helper. Some would say amen. And you need to find out ways to help your church to grow. You know, the other day me and Kyle were going down the road, down Burning Bush Road, and there's some cattle there on Burning Bush Road, and one of those crazy cows had his head all the way through the fence, and he is eating the grass right at the edge of the road. Now, if I wasn't paying attention and were to swerve a little bit, I'd have hit that crazy cow smack dab in the head, would I have not? And I said, Kyle, look at that. We said, I guess the grass is greener on the other side. At least that's what people think. But that cow didn't realize he's in danger. That cow didn't realize by trying to go to the other side and to do something else instead of eating in the nice fields that he was in, he's put himself in danger. He could have cut himself, wounded himself, or even got killed. And what happens is a lot of times we bring death to our spiritual life by hopping here and hopping there and thinking the grass is greener on the other side, changing from religion to religion to religion to idea, never realizing that God has placed us within a pasture that he wants us to eat from and nourish from and bring him honor and to bring him glory by sharing our faith with others. Somebody say amen. So God doesn't want you to be a church hopper. God wants you to be a church helper. Someone say amen. James says, be a doer of the word. Figure out how to take what God has given you and be creative. Notice in verse number 13, and we'll get to the points here in a minute. Notice in verse number 13, he says to gird up the loins of your mind. Gird up the loins of your mind. I'm not going to bore you with a bunch of Greek, but actually the word mind there actually comes from two different Greek words. the word dia, which means through, and then the word noia, which means to think. And so when the Bible uses this word mind, it is saying that we ought to think through some things. There should be some things that's happening in your, as a matter of fact, everything that you do, you ought to be thinking through that process. In your marriage, in your membership here at the church, what you do for God, you need to be thinking through the process. You need to be asking God, Lord, I want you to give me a spiritual mind. I want you to help me to think through what I need to do. Whether it's here at the church, it's in my ministry, whatever it may be, Lord, I want you to help me to think through this process. Bill Moores, he talks about creativity like this. He says, creativity is piercing the mundane to get to the marvelous. I love that. Piercing the mundane to get to the marvelous. That's what creativity is, in his opinion. Piercing the mundane to get to the marvelous. And when I read that, I thought about an apple pie. Now I'm about to make you hungry. There's nothing better than the smell of a fresh apple pie. And all God's people can say amen. Man, when that thing's coming out of the oven and you smell that thing and you start imagining that with some ice cream and some other toppings on top of it, boy, that apple pie, there is nothing that smells better than a fresh apple pie being baked. Well, the top of the pie is good, the crust is good, but that's what we would consider the mundane, that is the surface. It's good. But the best stuff, the marvelous stuff, lies beneath the surface. And this is what Bill Moores is saying. He's saying creativity, he says it's piercing the mundane to get to the marvelous. Now there's a lot of great things that we do on the surface, but we need to go a little bit deeper than just singing in the choir. We need to go a little bit deeper than just showing up at church. We need to go a little bit deeper than just giving some money in the offering plate. We need to go a little bit deeper than just coming to Sunday school. We need to go a little bit deeper in our Christianity, because what lies beneath is not the marvelous. I don't know about you, but sometimes I get so sick and tired of being sick and tired. It's because we're living on the surface. I want to penetrate the surface and get down to the marvelous, what God has for you and I. Somebody say amen. So in 2018, Lord, help me to move away the crust and help me to dig deep into the pie of ministry that you have for me. That's what James is telling us here when he says to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Find out some creative ways to pierce through the mundane to get to the marvelous. And in our text this morning, Peter tells us exactly how we need to do that. I want to give you three concepts from the text this morning that can help you to have a committed, contagious, and courageous Christian life. All of us need to have a contagious Christian life where it affects others. I was talking to Phil Cross the other day, and he was sharing with me some of the things that God's doing in his heart and his life. And I was talking to Phil, and Phil said something to me that I'll never forget. And I told him that when I was on the phone. I said, I'm never going to forget what you just said. That impacted me greatly. He said, David, I do not want to be a worship leader. What I want to be is a lead worshiper. And I thought that was good. I don't want to be a worship leader. I want to be a lead worshiper. And what Phil meant was I want my worship to be so contagious and my cup to fill up in such a way that it spills over to somebody else, that they see it on my countenance, they hear it in my words, they see it on my face, they see it in my actions, that I'm not a worship leader, I'm a lead worshiper in the church. And I guess if there's any goal that any of us could have is, Lord, make me a lead worshiper. Listen, you don't have to have a title in the bulletin to be a lead worshiper. You don't have to be paid on staff to be a lead worshiper. You don't have to have a position in the church to be a lead worshiper. All you gotta do is be in love with Jesus, some would say. Amen. Be in love with Jesus, and God, help me to be a lead worshiper in 2018. Be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. So here's what Peter tells us. Peter gives us several concepts that can help us to start in 2018 being a lead worshiper, a contagious Christian, one that is committed and doing what God wants us to do. First of all, I want you to look at me in verse number 13, and we'll map it out this way. Let's talk about the purpose for his saints. The purpose for his saints. Look at verse 13. Wherefore, he says, gird up the loins of your mind. That is, be ready to think through some things. Be sober and hope to the end of the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, you may be asking, why are we to contemplate Jesus' coming? Why are we to sit around and meditate, he says, on the revelation of Jesus Christ? That is the unfolding of God, the revelation of Christ. Why are we to sit around and think about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? Some people say, well, we really don't need to study the rapture. We don't need to study the Antichrist and the second coming. We're going to be gone anyhow, so what does it matter? What does it matter that we study all that stuff? Leave the book of Revelation for somebody else. We're living in the here and now. We don't need all that prophecy stuff. I'm going to tell you why you need prophecy. I'm going to tell you why you need to read the book of Revelation. Because when you are looking for Jesus, you are living for Jesus. When you are looking for Jesus, you are living for him. Every single day, as a child of God, you ought to be thinking today could be the day. If he doesn't come today, I'll look for him tomorrow. If he doesn't come tomorrow, I'll look for him at the end of the week. If he's not here by the end of the week, I'll look by the end of the month. If he's not here by the end of next year, then I will look again another year because I believe what the Bible says. Hey, Jesus is coming. Somebody say amen. So if you are looking for him, you are living for him. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 and 3, says, beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Listen, and every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. Do you know what, you know what's important about this text? Listen to me now. When you're looking for Jesus, you're going to be living for Jesus. And what's important about that verse that we just read, it's up on the screen. The Bible says every man that has this hope, that is every single person that is looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, something happens to him on the inside of their heart. Something happens to their life. The Bible says he purifies himself. It's another way of saying we are sanctified through the work of God. The word sanctification means to be set apart for the master's use. So when I think about God's coming, I think about one grand and glorious day that he's going to come, that he's going to open up the eastern sky, and he's going to travel from that heaven all the way here. He's going to enter in through the eastern gate that Greg and I were talking about yesterday. Now, to know that Christ is coming, Jake, to know that one day he's going to be here, it causes me to live a whole Christian life. When you are living for Jesus and you are looking for Jesus, then I want you to know, friend, you will be loving Jesus. Somebody say amen. When you're looking for him and you're living for him, then the Bible teaches us we are loving him with all of our heart, all of our mind, and all our soul. The Bible says in the book of Luke, it says to occupy until I come. When a person knows Christ, there is a path to walk, there is a purpose to work, and there is a person to worship. And that person, ladies and gentlemen, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And Peter tells us we ought to be committed Christians, committed in such a way that we are, first of all, contemplating his coming, verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be ready to work. Be sober and hope unto the end for the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We are advised to fix our mind fully upon the grace of God, the revelation of Christ. Now, I want you to know that's exactly what Peter did. Peter is so preoccupied with the coming of Christ. Listen to these verses, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perish, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Peter had his coming on his mind. Look at 1 Peter chapter number 2, verse 12. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. The word day of visitation is talking about the coming of Christ. Let me give you another one. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 13. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed. What is he talking about? He's talking about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. When his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. As a matter of fact, as you read the epistles of Peter even more, you'll find out that he exhorts pastors to be faithful to their work. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fades not away. You say, Brother David, what are you saying? I'm saying this. When you study the lives of great men and women of God, when you study their lives, you will find out one thing that was on their heart was the coming of Jesus Christ. Some of the greatest Christians that I know, every day, you hear it in their words, you see it in their actions. They are living in expectation for the coming of Jesus. Some of the greatest men and women that I know, you cannot get into a conversation with them without them talking about something that's revealed in the signs of the times. That's something that the Bible has to say pertaining to our day, about Christ coming. These are people who every single day of their life, they wake up with this on their mind thinking that today could be the day of Christ's glorious return. D.L. Moody said, I never preach a sermon without thinking that possibly the Lord may come today before I preach another. G. Campbell Morgan was that great British preacher who said, I never begin my work in the morning without thinking perhaps he may interrupt my work and begin his own. I am not looking for death. I am looking for him. Dr. R.A. Torrey said, the truth of the second coming of Christ transformed my whole idea of life. It broke the power of the world and its ambition over me and filled my life with the most radiant optimism, even under the most discouraging circumstances. What are you saying? I'm saying this. These men were looking for Jesus and they were living for Jesus and loving him. Peter tells us we ought to be contemplating his coming. And so something you can do in 2018, get your mind on the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only on the coming of Christ, verse number 13, but also conforming to his character. Look at verse 14. The Bible says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Now we're talking about holiness here. Now, you know what? I think there's an element that's missing in the church, that's missing with committed Christians. And you say, well, Brother David, what is that element? Well, it's not great music. I think we've got great music here. If you think we got great music, say amen. I think we got great music here. We got so much talent. It's just unbelievable how many soloists that the Lord has blessed us with, people with just beautiful voices, harmony, and I think we got great music on every plane. I enjoy the young lady that got up and sung this morning for us. It's great to see our teenagers getting involved and moving up through the ranks and giving their talent over to God. It blesses my heart. I don't know about you, but man, it really blesses my heart. It tells me, hey, there's another generation that's coming up the ranks that's gonna carry the gospel baton and do something great for the glory of God. And so it's not great music that we're missing. It's not Bible teaching. We've got great Bible teaching in our church. We got some of the greatest Bible teachers I've ever met sitting right here in this church. We've got amazing men of God and women of God that can take the word of God and tell us what Jesus has to say. So the element's not great music. It's not biblical teaching. It's certainly not beautiful landscape. We've got great landscape here. We've got a beautiful church. I love the way our church looks. If you've not seen the new carpet in the educational building over there, man, it looks fantastic. I love the way our church looks. And by the way, thank you for keeping God's house clean. Amen. My Sunday school teacher, when I was little, she used to say, if you boys put your bubble gum underneath that pew, all the plagues of Egypt are going to be on your life, you know. And we believed her, you know, we really did. You know, if we run through the church, all the plagues of Egypt are coming down on us. I think we ought to respect God's house. Someone say amen. Got a beautiful sanctuary, great Bible teaching, great music. We've got programs, and we've got people. Those are all great elements in the church. But the one key element that is missing in the church today is holiness. Holiness. We've got great music. We've got Bible teaching. We've got people. We've got programs. We've got a beautiful landscape. We've got money in the bank. We have missionaries on the field. We have all the makings of what a church ought to be. All the biblical makings of what a church ought to be. But a church is more than just building and mortar. The church is more than just carpet and pews. It's more than programs. It is you and I who are saved by the grace of God, living out our life in such a way that the world sees that we are holy unto the Lord. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. The Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. For the Father up above is looking down with love. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. Oh, be careful, mind, what you think. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, mind, what you think. Do you know that the Bible teaches you and I that our entire life is like an open book to God? He sees every paragraph. He reads every line. He knows the beginning. He knows the end. It's all, the Bible says, open and naked before God. There's nowhere where we can hide. There's nothing that we can shove underneath the carpet. God sees all and God knows all. So be careful, Christian. One day you're going to stand before God and you're going to give an account for the stewardship that God has placed within your life. And you say, Brother David, how can I improve on my stewardship? You need this element of holiness. The Bible says, be ye holy. I want you to know that's not a suggestion from Peter. He's not saying, hey, here's a great idea. Why don't you try holiness? You know, out of all the other ideas, let's try this one. This is a command from God. We believe the word of God. And the Bible is saying, just like God says, do not murder. Like God says, do not steal. Do not covet. Obey your mom and dad. Like God says, all those things in the Ten Commandments. God is saying here, be ye holy in your mouth, in your ministry, with your money, with your morals, with your marriage, with your membership, that everything belongs to God. Somebody say amen. And we are to give our all to Jesus Christ. Not only are we to be contemplating on his coming, it's a great thing for us to do in 2018, but also we ought to be conforming to his character. How? Verse 14. As obedient children. You know, a slave had to obey his master. He had to obey his master. An employee needs to obey and listen to its employer. But a loving son wants to obey his father. And if you are a son and daughter of God, there should be something on the inside of you compelling you to want to obey your father. You know, I love my dad with all my heart. My dad, I've had a great dad. he has taught us and he has loved on our family. He's provided for us for many, many years, and in many ways, still providing for us in many ways. And I love my father. God's given me a great dad. And growing up, there was nothing more that I wanted to do than to call my dad. I wanted my dad to be happy. I wanted my dad to know that all the things that he taught me and all the things that he said to me, that I was taking that and using it for the honor and glory of Christ. I remember last year, year before last, when I was graduating there at Liberty, there was thousands and thousands of students. I think we had 40-something thousand graduates there on the football field that day, and the place was just packed, and people was wall-to-wall everywhere. And we were standing on the practice football field before we were to walk in with the commencement. And I'm standing out there with all these thousands of people, and the one person that I wanted to talk to was my dad. And he couldn't be there, of course, because, you know, their health and all this and that. So I called Dad, and I said, hey, Pop, what's going on? He said, oh, son, I'm just sitting here at the house. He said, how are you doing? I said, well, today's graduation day. He said, that's right. He said, you're down there at Liberty today graduating. He said, I want you to know, son, I'm proud of you. And I said, well, thanks, Dad. You know, I said, I've worked hard at it. It's been tough a lot of ways, a lot of paper, a lot of reading, a lot of late nights, a lot of early mornings, but I did it, and I'm here. And my dad prayed with me on the field that day before I walked in and got my paper. I want you to know that meant the world to me. Even more than him being there, cheering in the stands, to know that my father was praying for me meant the world to me. To know that my dad was proud of the fact that one of his kids has accomplished a task like that. I want you to know, friend, in a very similar way, you know, those of our earthly affections, we should look at that from a spiritual point of view, that we should want to please God the Father, that we should want to call upon God's name. Say, Lord, I've been laboring in the field. And God, this is what you taught me. This is what you told me to do. And I'm putting it into practice, God. And I want to thank you for loving me. I want to thank you for supporting me. I want to thank you for helping me be all that I need to be. A slave has to answer to his master. An employee needs to answer to his employer, but a loving son wants to obey and celebrate with his father. So the best thing that you can do in 2018 is to turn your life over to Jesus Christ and celebrate living with God. Let's give him a hand clap of praise in the house of God. Hallelujah to his name. Not only do we contemplate his coming, and not only do we sit here and conform to his character and lovingly obey him, but second of all, what about the possibilities in serving? I think about all the things that we're able to do here at the church, what God has opened up the door for us to do, and God has given us all sorts of possibilities in serving. Look at verse 17 and verse 19. Peter reminds us, and if you call on the Father, who without respect of person judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear, that is serving God in reverence and fear. For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition of your father, it says, but you are redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. You know, because Jesus has redeemed us, we have all sorts of great possibilities in serving the Lord. We are a saved people. We are a blood-bought people, and the Bible teaches us that we are a redeemed people. We are a saved people, we are a blood-bought people, and we are redeemed people. We belong to him. Do you realize that this morning? You belong to God. You belong to him. He loves you, and he wants to give you his very best. As a matter of fact, he did in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because we are saved, and because we're redeemed, and because we are bought with the blood of Christ, God has given us all sorts of possibilities for you and I to serve him. I was reading Dr. Tony Evans' book the other day, and Dr. Evans said this. He said, when a seed of corn is planted, in that seed is all the potential of a stalk with all the bunches of ears. Watermelon seed is planted because inside is the promise of something much bigger. An acorn has all the makings of a huge oak tree. He goes on to say, planted seeds grow, and with the help of a little water and sunshine, into so much more than originally visible. However, they must go through a process of growth in order to fully mature into their possibilities. That little watermelon seed, you plant that seed, but on the inside of that seed, there's so much potential. On the inside of that little bitty tiny seed, there's something that's growing on the inside that goes through a process that sprouts much, much bigger than the seed. Now, I want you to know, friend, you may be looking at your life and you're saying, well, I'm not as significant as others in the church, or I don't have a title, or I've not been a Christian very long. I want you to know, if you are a child of God, you are like that little watermelon seed. On the inside of you, there is so much potential that God wants to use you, that God wants to help you. You say, Brother David, how do I get there? You've got to go through the process of growing in sanctification. You've got to set your life apart for Christ. You've got to be faithful to what God has called you to do. You can't give up. You cannot give out, and you cannot give in. You've got to go forward for the cause of Christ. And one day, after that process has matured, all of a sudden something blossoms. God begins to water that possibility. God begins to nurture that possibility, and it grows to something beyond your very imagination. In 2018, we had the possibility of serving the Lord. Not only the purpose of the saints and the possibility of serving, but let me give you the last one. How about presenting the scripture. One of the things I said earlier that I think that we may be lacking in our church, and I'm not trying to throw nobody under the bus, I just see it with my own eyes, and I look at everyday life. Let me ask you this. Let me just see a show of hands real quick. How many of you have had somebody come to your door and knock on your door, not a Jehovah's Witness, not a Mormon, I'm talking about a born-again believer, knocked on your door to share their faith and to win you to Jesus? Raise your hand. Raise your hand real high. Look at that. Born-again believers. How many of you had a Jehovah's Witness come and knock on your door? Wow. Huh? Do you see what I'm talking about? They're out. They don't have the truth. You get that, right? Somebody say amen. Hey, if you're still awake and you're listening, say amen. So we just took a test. There is more of Satan's work in our community than the Lord's work. And we claim to be Christians. We claim to know the truth. We claim to love God. Listen, if you are looking for Jesus, you will be living for Jesus, and you certainly will be loving him. And the best way that you can love him is by fulfilling the Great Commission, telling others about Christ, telling others about Christ. You say, Brother David, how do you start? I was at home last weekend there in Chicago, and man, it was cold there. Like I said, it was -3 degrees. And they put the salt out there on the roads, and it will ruin your vehicle. I mean, it looks terrible. So I took my car to the car wash. I was going to clean it up, and Melissa and I was in there. And there's a delightful young girl behind the desk, and we were talking about the weather and how cold it was. And I told her I'm from Georgia, and I was a pastor. And she was asking me how the weather is here. And I thought, well, here's a great opportunity for me to witness. And so I just simply opened up the conversation like this. Now remember this. Listen to me now. If you hear anything, I want you to hear this. God never called you to save them. You get me? God never called you to save them. What God called you to do was to share your faith. And where we get it backwards is where we're afraid to tell somebody is we think we got to do the saving also. That's God's job. That's his job. All he's told me to do is to share the story. I'm to share the story of his glory. As a matter of fact, if you look at the word history, there's two words in the word history: his story. And so all of history is about his story. And so I'm to share the story of God's glory. And then God does the saving. It's the Holy Spirit that does the convicting. I don't do the convicting. I don't do the reproving. I don't do those things. That's the Holy Spirit's job. I'm simply called to tell others about Jesus. And I want you to know that's liberating when you get that in your heart. When you get that in your heart that all you got to do is tell somebody about Christ, it's a little easy to open up the conversation. Well, how do you do it? Start like this. Do you ever think about spiritual things? That's all I got to say. Now, that's not combative. You're not arguing your religion. All you got to say, do you ever think about spiritual things? Well, yeah, I do, or maybe I don't. If they don't think about spiritual things, why? Why don't you think about spiritual things? And have you ever thought about Jesus? What do you think about Jesus? And let them start telling you. And then when they're finished in your politeful conversation, you share your story. And you start telling them what Jesus is to you. I want you to know this, friend. When you start sharing your faith, the devil's going to do everything possible to stop that witnessing program. And that's exactly what happened to me. Here went attempt number one. Something diverted her attention. She came back over the counter and started talking to me again. Here's attempt number two. Something diverted her attention. Melissa's sitting over there, and she knew exactly what I was trying to do. I'm trying to witness to this girl. And the third time, I started talking about spiritual things with her, and some guy came in and interrupted, and she had to deal with them, and she got diverted, and I didn't have the opportunity. And I was sitting there thinking, devil, you are so deceiving. And he knew exactly what I was trying to do. And he was doing everything in his power to divert that girl's attention. I want you to know, when you sign up for God, you say in 2018, I'm going to be a witness for the cause of Christ. I want you to know, friend, God will put you on the front line of the hottest battle to share your faith, but I'm going to tell you this. Listen, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Somebody say amen. 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 So when it was all said and done, I told her, I said, listen, here's a great goal for you in 2018. Find you a Bible-believing church and try to think about spiritual things. You'll be better off if you did, you know. And I thanked her, and we walked away, and all God's called me to do, Greg, is plant the seed. I don't have to do the saving. I don't have to do the convicting. I don't have to do it. All I have to do is plant the seed. And one of the things that I want to see in 2018 more than anything else, more than programs, more than doing ministry activities, more than anything, I want to see our church become evangelistic. I want to see our church sharing our faith, passing out tracts, telling our story, not filling the church with people because we got so many programs or we got a new event or we have an outing or a retreat, and those things are good in and of themselves. I'm talking about systematically working to organize ourselves in such a way that we are winning people to Christ. I'd like to see more people baptized this year. I don't want a bigger building. I want to see a bigger body of Christ. I want to take somebody with me because, hey, I believe that he is coming again. Somebody say amen. So I want folks to go. I want to see them go. You know, somebody may say, well, you know, there's so many churches in the area. So many churches in the area. I don't know what type of impact we're really going to make. I want you to know this. Listen to me. Please do not fool yourself and think that everybody in this county is going to church. They're not. Everybody, just drive down this block right here, right where the church sits. You'll see children outside playing. You'll see people working in the yards, taking down their Christmas lights. There is all sorts of people in this community that need the Lord Jesus Christ. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to share your story. I want you to ask somebody, do you ever think about spiritual things? And they say, yes, I think about it. Well, what do you think of Jesus? And ask them, tell me what you think of Jesus. You know, and if you're a child of God, you're going to know pretty quick whether or not that person actually knows the Lord. Are you with me? Say amen. This is something you teenagers can do, something our college students can do, something mom and dad can do, and grandma and grandpa can do. I'm not asking you to be a complainer in the church. I'm asking you to be a contender. Saying, God, I want to be a contagious Christian. I don't want to be a worship leader. I want to be a lead worshiper, Jerry. I want to be somebody that is so in love with Jesus that people see that. Not me, Matt, they see him. They see Jesus in you. It's Jesus in your men's ministry. Jesus in your ministry. Jesus in your ministry. Jesus in your ministry, in your marriage, in your relationships. Jesus in your heart. Jesus in your heart. Jesus in your heart. You know, both you boys, you guys are big boys. You guys are big boys. I'm sure your parents need an offering to feed both of you, huh? You guys got a lot of potential in life. But the greatest thing that either one of you can do is to be big for Jesus and to love him with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul. You know, the Bible says that God is not mocked. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. We can play church all day long. We can come in and give our tithe. We can put our nice ties on and dress up and have our nice King James Bible tucked away underneath our arm and be ready to go to church on Sunday. But if that's all that Christianity is for you, showing up and showing out, you've missed the big picture. It's showing up, showing out for Jesus, and sharing our faith and telling others, Jesus saves, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. So I want you to know God has broken me over this year. And what you're going to hear in 2018 is a challenge from this preacher to call upon you to be a soul winner, to win your family and friends to Christ. Let's stir the waters. Let's baptize more people than we've ever baptized in 2018. Let's see more people's lives changed than we ever had before in 2018. Let's see marriages committed more than we've ever seen before. Let's see young people committed more than we've ever seen before. How do we do that? Keeping one another accountable to share our faith with Christ. What this new year is going to bring us is what we bring the new year. And what I plan on doing, I plan on bringing myself to Jesus, saying, God, take all that I have, I offer it to you. Use it and magnify your glory. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, Lord, I pray that this year, Lord, will be different than any other year that we've ever had. That, Lord, what this new year may bring, Lord, maybe challenges, maybe difficulties, certain circumstances, Lord, to try to rock our faith and our resolve. But God, if we consciously commit today to bring ourselves to you, to come to you, I know, Lord, that you will take us and lead us and guide us and direct us. So help us, Lord, to have a desire to please the Father, to love you like a father desires to obey, like a son desires to obey his father and to love his father. May we do the same to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Parkway Baptist, please visit our website at www.parkwaybaptist.me. That's www.parkwaybaptist.me.